Good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. I think I was saying that to get a mic check, pretty much. I missed last week in huddle, but a few weeks ago, Mike stood behind this sacred desk and he talked about courage. Just to echo a little bit of what he was saying. I don't know if you guys know or not, but I'll just reveal a little bit to you. That before each speaker comes up, there's a group of men who pray them in, and I think that group of men that pray us in, sometimes they try and relax us a little bit, and no matter how many times I speak, I'm always nervous, I always have butterflies. My bishop that ordained me, he told me as a young minister that if there ever become a day that I don't have butterflies before I speak, especially about the Word of God, to just stop speaking, stop ministering, because then I'm full of myself. And I always ask God to hide me behind the cross. Just today, even as I was being prayed in, someone made a comment that, okay, when you speak at huddle, you don't wear cufflinks. So I guess I'm the first for that. And I guess that takes a little courage for me to put on some cufflinks and come before my brothers. Today, we are going to touch on a subject that's coming from our book, Four Pillars of a Man's Heart. Those who do not have this book, I would very, very much like to recommend you all to make sure you get a copy of this book. I don't know if we have any copies available, but I'm sure if you see Bob, he would pretty much know where to direct you in getting that copy. This is chapter 6 in that book. And as I was reading, the king provides direction. There's a lot that I could talk about what was in the book. There's a lot that I could talk about in my little notes that I have here. But somebody told me something about 2 seconds before I came in this room. And what he said is that he really wanted to see Zoe. That's something that I really appreciate about huddle. Yeah, we're a group of men who most of us are claiming that we are sons of God. Most of us claim Christ as our Savior and as our Lord. But another thing that I believe that we all share is that most of us, if not all of us, are still struggling in some areas. Most of us, if not all of us, still need some direction. We still need some guidance. And if anyone in here under the sound of my voice say that they don't, then I think that I would just disagree with you. And I'll leave it there. I was getting ready to be biblically correct, but I'll just leave it there. I'll have to disagree with you on that. The scripture tells us in Proverbs 14 and 12 that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but in the end is destruction. And I'm not sure about you all's testimony, but if you just allow me, because I think I got about maybe 20 minutes and 45 seconds. So if you just allow me to talk about me for just a minute. Because if I talk about me, then I think that I'm okay. I'm not going to talk about you, but I'll talk about me. Because if I can talk about me, then you guys will feel more better. You guys will feel like, okay, I'm good. I too thought that my way was the way. Even though I was raised in a Christian home and my parents tried to rear me in the right direction, right around the age of about 15, I just began to rebel and I began to just do things like I heard Frank Sinatra say, my way. And I thought my way was the way. You know, who needs this? Who needs this church-going stuff? Who needs to wake up every Sunday morning and go in this church? And you know that, I don't know about you guys, I talk about my church I grew up in. You know some people in the church wasn't living the life that they proclaimed to be living. You knew that there was a couple of deacons that was looking at some of the sisters on the front row. But, I mean, I'm talking about my church. I'm not talking about you guys' church. If y'all start laughing, then I'll know that it wasn't just my church either. So I felt like, who really needs this? And this is one thing that I really enjoy about Huddle, man, is that we can come here and we can really be transparent. At our tables, the speakers, we try our best to just be transparent, man. Because we all struggle with some things. I needed some direction. Even though I refused it, I rebelled against it, I needed it. And the direction that I needed was the direction from the Creator Himself. You see, there's a story that I heard, and it was a simple question that was asked. And I believe that we've all heard it before time and time again. I think someone used the analogy of a new car. I sometimes use the analogy of a VCR or a DVD player. When you get that new DVD player and you take it home and you open that box up, you have instructions. If something's go wrong, then you send it back to the manufacturer. So in life, as males, we come forth. We're males. In case you guys did not know, when we were born, we were just males. We graduated into being men. But we too came with instructions. When something go wrong, we need to be able to know who's the manufacturer of males, which is God. So when something goes wrong, we need to know that we can go back to the manufacturer of men, and he has the instructions of what we need to do. Over in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, it says something that was very simple, but it is so true. It reads, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So if God knows that your ways are not higher than his ways, why do we as men tend to feel as though that we don't need his direction? Okay, let me stop picking on you guys. Why do I feel at times that I don't need his direction and I can handle this? What happens when I tell myself that I can handle this is that God stands back and he just folds his arms. Because I'm not allowing him to do the work. And he's simply saying, as long as you, Zoe, want to try and do it your way, you're hindering me from doing it my way. And as long as we continue to allow him to stand back, fold his arms, what we really need from him, we'll never have. But it's not until we realize that we need to step back and allow God to step up in whatever situation that we may be dealing with. I'm scanning across the room and I see a diverse of men. I see some who are young, some who are old, some who are middle-aged. I see some who may be retired, some who may be working, some who have short sleeves, long sleeves, ties on, ties off, shirts, jogging suits, hats on, hats off, some are bald, some with hair. Some have glasses, some don't. But we're all the same. Because we all need direction. Not just any direction. I work with two of, I would say, the best young men in Kokomo. And I consider myself the godfather of the crew. Travis and Casey, I can ask them for a direction and they can give me what I should do, but that's not the King's direction. This is what we need, the King's direction. I don't know how many of you have sold yourselves out to Christ, who have allowed him to be not just your Savior, but your Lord. You see, there's a difference. When we allow him to be the Savior, then we are allowing him to remove us and take us away from and put us in a place that we are safe. But when we allow him to be Lord, that means that he reigns and he rules over our lives. No decision that we make from the day that we allow him to be Lord is a decision that we make on our own. Because we go to Him. We ask Him. We believe that He's going to give us the direction in which we should go. This is what this chapter was covering. In Jeremiah, God was speaking to His prophet. And in chapter 1, in verse 5, He said, "Before I formed thee, in the belly I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." God knew us before we were even formed in our mother's womb. He knew that Zoe was going to make some mistakes. He knew that Zoe was going to pick up that bottle of alcohol. He knew that Zoe was going to be a drug addict. He knew that Zoe would be turning himself away and rejecting and neglecting God and the teachings. He knew these things. But He also knew that with my mess would come forth a ministry. He also knew that everything that I was experiencing, every stumbling block that was tripping me up in life, that sooner or later they will become my stepping stones to get closer to Him. So do we make mistakes? Wait a minute, let me rephrase that. Do I make mistakes? Sure do. And that's one thing I appreciate about being here on Wednesday afternoons. I don't know about any other table, but I can tell you about table 12. We make some mistakes at table 12. Because we share that. I don't know what you share at your table. But I just ask of you to be real. The only way that we can get direction is that we first have to say that I'm lost. If we think we're going the right way, and we know in our minds that we're turned around, why do we consistently go in that direction? When you have help, when you have a support group, when you have a group of men who love you and are genuinely concerned about you. This is not a social club that we just come to on Wednesday and it's something that we check off for the week. Check, I've been in the huddle. This is something that we should take seriously. To help edify us, to help build us up, to help us be better men. And if we are better men, then guess what? We become better husbands. If we're better husbands, guess what? We become better fathers. If we are better fathers, guess what? We become better men in our community. We're able to reach out and we're able to help because we are not just asking direction from anyone, but we are asking for the King's direction. That's what we're looking at. I can scan across this room and I know some personal stories. And it took us to be able to allow ourselves to be transparent enough to say that, you know, I've made some mistakes in my life. And had it not been for the Lord who was on my side, oh my God, where would I be? Where would I be? We've just begun the year of 2012. Had it not been for the Lord who was on my side, last year, May the 4th, I would just be coming home from being incarcerated. But because I knew in 1996 when I was arrested, sitting in Howard County Jail, that the direction that I was going in was leading me to destruction. Oftentimes I tell people, was it because I was incarcerated that I gave my life to Christ? No. I may not be the biggest guy, but I'm sure not the smallest guy in the room. The area that I came from in Chicago on the southeast side, it may not have been the roughest area in the country, but it sure wasn't the nicest area in the country either. Tell you a secret. Please don't take me up on this because I've given my life to Christ for one. I'm an ordained minister for two. I mentor a lot of young people for three. I have a family and I've just become a new grandpa last month, so I have two grandchildren. So please don't take me up on my past. Been in a lot of fights. I tallied up the score. Bunch of wins, zero losses. Not the baddest man in the whole town. But I wasn't the weakest either. So being incarcerated wasn't something that moved me as far as that I was so afraid that I wanted to hide behind something. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It wasn't the fact that I was incarcerated that caused me to give my life to Christ. That was not the point. What happened was being incarcerated caused me to begin to think. And I read while I was incarcerated, Arthur, who said, "Solitude is a heady wine that intoxicates the mind with freedom." Solitude, being confined in a place, is a heady wine. It's something that causes you to be able to now think, that intoxicates the mind with freedom if you allow the King's direction to direct you in where you need to go. So I took that opportunity to go back and to talk and to ask this King, "Are you really the King? Can you really allow me to change my life? If you are, then just show me." And guess what? He did. He showed me right at Howard County Jail, man. In a cell, all alone, facing 185 years. First thing he showed me was that I am who they say I am. If you don't believe who I am, while your eyes are closed and you're in total darkness, let me present you with a light. Many of you have heard this testimony, but the light was so bright while my eyes was closed until I was afraid to open them. I thought I would be blinded if I even peeked. That was one time it was no peeking. Second thing he showed me is that they honored a plea bargain. So instead of 185 years, they say, "Well, we'll give you 30. Day for day, you do 15 years. So guess what? I'm good with that. I'm not denying what I did. I'm all right with that. Courage, I'm looking at that paper. I got a sheriff sitting in the room in uniform, and I'm talking about being incarcerated. I don't see him as a sheriff. I see him as my brother. I don't have to look over my back anymore if I see someone in uniform and wonder if they're getting ready to pull me over. Because I got the right direction now. I'm helping somebody this afternoon. May not be the ones who got it all right." I don't know if it's this room. Well, let me stay with me. But somebody is being blessed right now by what I'm saying. They told me to get off my notes and just be me, and that's all I can be is me this afternoon, gentlemen. But he showed me. The third thing he showed me is that when I begin to pour into other men's lives, when I begin to pour into other men's ministries that were incarcerated with me, when I began to help them and to show them how to become and transition from male to man through the Word of God, not on what the words that Zoe was saying. Don't go on my words, man, because I still got some issues and you'd be messed up. Go on these words right here. These words right here, that's stone, man. Ain't no wrong in here. It's all right. Growing up, I used to hear an old deacon, and he used to sing a song. "I know the Bible is right and somebody's wrong." And I found out that he was right. It's right. But through me pouring into the lives of these men, helping them become better fathers, better husbands, better men, that when they leave, that they will be productive citizens in society again, The number one thing that I told them is that it does not start when you exit that gate. It starts right here. See, you want to leave out with something. And I've been home since 2004 in December, and do you not know that people are still waiting on me to go back in? It'd be a long wait, baby. Because the direction that I need is the King's. He's the one that's providing my direction now. Do I still make some mistakes? Yes. Because I'm still growing in Christ. Do you guys make mistakes? I think so. Safe to say. But we're still growing in Christ. But when we make a wrong turn, where do we get our direction from? We hit that little button in our car and it tells us make a U-turn. And that's another thing. Where did they get that one from? Help me out, Sheriff. They put it on the GPS, make a legal U-turn. I'm like, is there such thing as a legal U-turn? I don't know, but I'm not getting ready to try it. And I make a legal U-turn, the lights come on, say, the GPS told me to make the legal U-turn. I don't know. But in life, man, in life and what we're going through, we can find ourselves going in the wrong direction. But even though it may not be by man's law, a such thing of a legal U-turn, there is a thing by God's law of a legal U-turn. Because he tells us to turn from our wicked ways. That means if I'm walking in the direction and it's the wrong direction, he say turn, that's a 180 from our wicked ways. If we're supposed to be looking to the hill, going in the direction, we turn away, we need to get back. This is the King's direction which he is speaking of. Proverbs 21:16. It's a proverb that when I was doing a Bible study one day, and some of you may know this young man because he's from Anderson, Indiana, and he was Mr. Basketball, Kojak Fuller. And as a matter of fact, just this morning I got a text from him. I think that he's getting ready to try and do a movie of his life. This young man was incarcerated with me at Miami County. And we shared a lot of days. There were days that we would get up at 9 in the morning and we would stay in the Word of God, and I am serious, the entire day. The only time that we would not be at that table is lockdown, count time, and child time. That was it. That was it. But one day we were having a discussion, and he told me this scripture. And when he said this scripture, I was like, wow, that is one of the hidden nuggets in the Bible that I did not know was in there. And I have read the entire Bible at least 3 times. Probably more, but at least I know I counted. It was 3 times that I went from cover to cover. But I never really paid attention to the scripture until that day. And it simply says, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that's not the one that I'm really looking for. I'm looking for 21:16. I was still stuck on my marker there, so you guys forgive me. I told you that I wasn't perfect. Told you I still make some mistakes, even standing up here talking to you guys. Built myself all up to read the scripture. Then I looked down and started reading. I should have put my glasses on. That was one of the problems right there. Here we go. 21:16, Proverbs. The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. When he said that scripture, I was like, are you kidding me? That's in the Bible? The man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. We do know that over in Romans, it says in 6 and 23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. So if I remain in the congregation of the dead, that means that I am amongst dead folk, and I'm still in my sin. So if I remain there, that means that I have no direction. My grave is dug. I have 1 foot in, and I'm standing on a banana peel. The King provides direction. The King provides direction. I want you guys to write this down. And when you write it down, if I could, I would tell you guys to do like a lot of my middle school students do. And, you know, we can go in the Bridges any given day and just look at any kid's hand, and they got their marker, they marked all on their hand. But if I could, mark this, put this in your heart. You don't even write it on your paper, because I'm going to tell on myself. And sometimes I sit at huddle and I be at my table and I write things on paper, and then as soon as I walk out, I forget. And I may or may not pick that piece of paper back up. That's just me. Not talking about you guys, talking about me. Remember, I'm staying with Zoe, because if I stay with me, then you guys feel a little bit more exalted to me. But I know I got some people that share that same testimony. So put it in your heart. Don't even write it on paper. You can put your pens down. Don't even write it down. If you forget, call up to the Y, tell them I need to talk to Zoe, and I'll tell you again what it was. On your own time. Not going to tell you when. Not going to tell you what day, what time of the morning. Not going to do that. But on your own time, read Psalm 119 in its entirety. It's the longest book in Psalm, but man, if you're talking about some meat, you're talking about some good meat, it's good meat. Psalm 119. I'm about to wrap it up because Bob giving me that look. Read Psalm 119. Put that in your heart. Put that in your memory bank. Now, if you have a short memory, write it on a piece of paper. But put it in the memory bank. Psalm 119. Read that on your own time. Psalm 119, we're going to go there and we're going to move swiftly. Verse 12 simply says, "Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes." If you want the King's direction, ask for it and you shall receive it. Number one, Psalm 119, verse 13, it simply says, "With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth." And then we drop down to 31 and it says, "I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame." If you want the King's direction, take him at his word. And you do know that we can challenge him as well. I'm talking to you from experience. You can challenge him. Because I prayed this scripture right here. "I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord, put me not to shame." I've been in here witnessing. I've been living a life before you. And now I'm petitioning the courts to come home early. Don't put me to shame in front of these brothers that I talk about having so much faith in you, believing that you can do the impossible. Don't put me to shame. And he didn't, because I was home December the 14th, 2004, instead of May the 4th, 2011. He didn't put me to shame, because I asked him. I wanted some direction. So if you want direction, take him at his word. And you can even challenge him, but you have to challenge him with his own word. Not your word, his word. Because if you bring his word back to him, to the fathers that are in here, if you promise your child a dollar on Friday, and on Saturday morning they notice they don't have their dollar, more than likely that child is going to come to you and say, "Dad, you said you were going to give me a dollar yesterday, and it's today." They're taking you and challenging you at your own word. So challenge him at his word. Staying in Psalms 119, verse 14, 15, and 16. "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." If you want the king's direction, listen carefully and follow his instructions. If the GPS tells you in point 5 to exit and you go point 6, guess what? You're in the ditch. We can listen carefully and follow the instructions of a man-made trinket, I'll say. How come it's so hard for us to follow the instructions of the king? Staying in Psalms 119, that's why I'm telling you to read this thing, is really good. Verse 22, "Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies." If you want direction from the king, be confident in knowing that you will arrive at your destination safe and in his arms. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to speak to your people once again. God, we thank you for your wisdom. Thank you for your grace. We thank you for being our king. We thank you for the directions in which you have given unto us. Now, Lord, we pray that you would not only allow us to hear your word, but that you would allow us to be doers of your word. We ask that you would allow us to know how to apply the word in our lives when we come against our situations and our struggles. God, we ask right now that every table discussion will be one that will be a blessing unto every man that is under the sound of my voice. And when we leave this place but not your presence, that we will remember the words that we have heard. We ask, O God, that if there be anyone in this room under the sound of my voice that have not received you as Savior as well as Lord, that they would come, that they would repent, and that they would ask, "What must I do to be saved?" That their lives would be put on the right track. God, we thank you and we praise you, we glorify you and we honor you. And we ask this all humbly in your mighty Son Jesus' name. Thank God and amen. God be the glory.